So we would like to, of course, again welcome everybody. Being just a guest, I'm always most inspired to come here to Ljubljana, especially because I was here at the times where this temple was not so full of guests. So it is always most inspiring to see that the temple actually is fulfilling its purpose. There's more people coming. That's the only reason why this building is maintained. It's the only reason actually Krishna is even worshipped here. Prabhupada said we could actually live without that. We don't need this. And any manager and anybody who maintains these buildings knows it's not easy. You know, these buildings were not constructed even for this purpose. I know the history of this building. Well, certainly that was not built so that there is a temple here. You know, this building was not established for devotional purposes. As a matter of fact, I don't know why, but devotees acquire always properties which have rather a very ghastly background. It's globally amazing. I can tell you most history, the backgrounds of the temples in Europe. I mean, it's terrible places, you know that? Therefore, sometimes they were very cheap to buy because nobody wanted that. So, I cannot even go into details, you know. This was very ghastly things were going on. You have this little Shukadev out there who is just like remembering everybody what happened here. So, nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada was always in a very positive mood. He liked temples, but filled with devotees. Otherwise, he said, we can sit under a tree in Chennai, Krishna. We don't need this. He even established temples in India for a particular purpose, which is nowadays not so known. But actually, the only reason he did that was to protect his disciples. So they have a place to go. Because he said, you shouldn't go anywhere. You may wonder why. What about the parikrama? What about going and visiting? Yes, but under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. When you come to India, things get very subtle and dangerous. So Prabhupada actually established these temples, so we have the facility to remember Krishna in a way he established. Even in the spiritual life, there are differences. It's not all one and the same. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada defined spiritual life as a walk on a razor's blade. There's not much space to move. You know, when you walk on a razor's blade, and when you walk in a wrong way, you can slide and get cut. So that we don't tell these people immediately when they come in the door. We tell them, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And they come back and they go, I'm chanting, I'm becoming more unhappy. What is this? And we go, ah, this is the serious chanting. Because when you chant seriously, then the conscience comes up. And then the intelligence gets awakened. And then you realize, the first realization, my God, I am an idiot. It's not a very pleasant realization. It's not like you rejoice. Oh, great, I'm an idiot. No. But you realize, my God, I am not this body. And what kind of body I am not. You know, I used to look every day in a mirror and think, well, it's not so bad, you know. It's good. Now I look in a mirror, I think, what an idiot. It's not very nice. Maybe I should stop chanting, you know. And Maya is there immediately and going, yeah, that's a good idea. Good idea. Stop chanting. You know, there are so many wonderful identities you can assume in this world. You will be the most beautiful, the most knowledgeable, the most powerful. Do it. Just don't chant Hare Krishna. Because when you chant Hare Krishna, things starts to change. One becomes introspective. And still Maya is there. Prabhupada said, she will put on a tilak, walk in a temple. She is a pure devotee. She can be in a temple, you know. Do. And she will go, me also, Hare Krishna. And she sees she cannot test you and stop you to chant. She will also join in. And going, okay. You failed to become the big materialists. Now you become a big devotee. something very special, something very distinct, something the world never saw before. How do you do that? Oh, I can give you a course how to become a Kanishtha Adhikari. You know. I will not do that because some people may get upset. So, you know, but the first thing of Kanishtha Adhikari is that he is judging everything to social output. Do they like me? Am I famous? Do they appreciate? Look, I'm sitting here. They are listening there. I made it. You know. And I'm a great devotee, you know, because I have such a big tilak. And then, you know, I have all the paraphernalia. I'm socially prominent. I got nice designation, another title, you know. His divine grace, Om, 108. So, now look, my title is so big you cannot print it in one A4 page anymore. And look how they are worshipping me. Look, they're all bowing down. They don't know who I am, but it doesn't matter. They don't know what they are doing, doesn't matter either. But this is there. Ah. So this is all different tricks. Maya also becomes, I also want to get initiated. You know? And I will praise you so much that you get so puffed up, you will fall down like anything. Ha ha. That's Maya's tricks. So this is not the international movement for becoming famous. This is not the international movement for economic development. It's not even the international movement to get some spouse or some company. You know, it's not really. You can go on the internet. It's much easier. You know, you can punch in your name, put a picture, and you will get 5,000 friends coming up. You know, that's no problem. So the real essence of Krishna consciousness is, and we can read today about this, something from Bhagavad Gita, which we also do traditionally during the Sunday feast. This is just from the 11th chapter, where Krishna becomes more firm to Arjuna. We know Arjuna was hesitant to fight, and for actually very noble reasons. He was actually soft-hearted. Even he was capable. He was not afraid to fight. Not at all. He was not even afraid to die. He was a kshatriya. But he was afraid of the consequences of his actions. And this is relevant. When you listen what Arjuna is saying there, he goes, when I kill all these men, I can do that. Then there will be these women left. And children. They are all married. Kshatriya means married. So there will be a vast population of single women with a child. Well, you don't have to go far, look around. We are in Kali Yuga. It becomes the standard. Even nobody got killed, but the social structure of the society is getting sorely destroyed. And that's what Arjuna was worried about. He said, who will protect these women? Who will help? Who will assist? It's a very wrong idea that sometimes they interpret that, you know, protection means domination. No. Prabhupada comments clearly, this is not about being slave. This is about being protected. And the whole Vedic structure, as we described yesterday, is a system that one protects the other. We all have to be protected. Kshatriya also has to be protected. By a Brahmana, who tells him, my dear sir, your violent action is now not justified anymore. You are becoming a Nazi, you know that? So not so much killing. It's enough of this. Because you are killing, you will be killed. That's law of karma. So be careful. Nakshatriya will listen and go, but I killed only for established law and dharma. You know? And the Brahmana goes, that was enough. You know, this is enough now. Not more. So the kshatriya is bowing down and then he is regulated. He has to be protected. And Brahmana, he has to be governed by Shastra, by scripture. He cannot say, in my view, in my opinion, you know, I believe that, I think it's like that. It's finished. Prabhupada said, in a discourse amongst Brahmanas, whoever in an argument came up with this, In my opinion, I believe he was immediately disqualified. Like in sports, you know, it's doping. You know, he's intoxicated by his mind, out. And Prabhupada said, being defeated by the other Brahmana in argument, he had to become his disciple on the spot. He surrendered. Now I have no more argument. And the other one was going, but don't you know that this Shastra and this Shastra is said like this? No, I don't know anymore. Okay, then you become a disciple. This is the Vedic rules of combat between the Brahmanas. There was such a thing. There was complicated, intricate issues which Brahmanas had to discuss sometimes for a long time before they came to a conclusion. Nowadays in Kali Yuga, intellectual means no conclusion. You cannot do that. You cannot go to university and say, it is like that. No. There will be immediately some professor coming out, well, it could be also like that, you know. And they like it. The more, some certain Mr. Bernard Shaw said 150 years ago, when the science started to grow stronger, he said, if you really want to become confused, become a scientist. Yeah, the amazing man. He said it. He was Irish. He was saying this. Prabhupada would like this. So, you know, so, yeah. Because there's more questions, more, you know, answers. The more you search, the more questions come up. The mysteries of the cosmos, of the universe. The science is working on it. Just give us more money. We are working on the mysteries, you know. And then they look in a microscope and they go, oh, it's getting smaller and smaller. It's endless. And yes, from our point of view, it's endless. Krishna is endless. His creation is endless. However, here in the material world, it's temporary. On a certain point, Mahavishnu is breathing in and the whole show is withdrawn. Finished. And the scientist goes, but I'm not ready with my studies. You are finished too. Everything finished. And then when Mahavishnu goes, then we all come into being, starting exactly where we stopped again and going, what was that? Of course, there are some billions of years in between, you know. But it's amazing. Forgetting everything what was and starting again, this is all under Krishna's control. So finally, by Arjuna surrendering more, telling Krishna, we are actually no more friends. As friends, we used to joke and we used to be relaxed and share our opinions or whatever. No, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm surrendering unconditionally. That's Prabhupada said is the position of a disciple. Without that attitude, one should not become a disciple. It's actually dangerous to become a disciple without surrender, then one becomes offensive. We saw it sometimes, devotees before they, bhaktas before they get initiated, they are kind of jolly and they go, Hare Krishna and Prasadam and Jaya. And then they become initiated and they go, things are getting serious. The offenses are gaining the weight. So one has to be careful, not unnecessarily push it too much. I don't want to give now a lecture about initiation, but I'm not a guru, but I saw and I see the effects of cheap initiation. Being initiated for social purposes, for name, fame and glory. I'm not anymore, you know, the Slovenian little guy. I am now, you know, Paramahamsaras. All the congregational members are stunned. And I brought from Vrindavan a whole suitcase of Sheilas. I have 20 neck beads. Like the ladies in Africa. I have this big cigar. I know a few shlokas you don't know. I am special, I am distinct, and I am becoming famous. This is a wrong way. And Krishna always arranges something that you become a famous fool. So, you know, this is not the reason of initiation. Initiation actually, Prabhupada says, beginning. In a process. I accept the process. Okay, then you get the chance. Here you are following. But it's not an end of things. And once we are in a process, we have to prove ourselves that we are qualified to follow the process. The testing period is ongoing. It never stops. It never stops. There's no point in Krishna consciousness. You said, oh, I did it. It's exactly the point when Maya comes in. She goes, great. Come here. You are so great, you have to stand a little bit left, a little bit right. Yeah, that's the right point. You get it straight in the nose, embarrassing yourself in such a low profile way. Everybody goes, how could this senior great Vaishnava become such an idiot? Well, there's always a way to become an idiot. We are living in a material world. You can embarrass yourself just a few minutes before you die. You know, it's no problem. Maya is always here waiting. You know, testing. This is what she does. Are you really a devotee? Are you serious about this? And we go, yeah, I'm very serious. Maya goes, okay, show me. How serious? That will be seen when the temptation comes. That will be seen when you are in circumstances which facilitate your false ego and your pride. You know, what will you do? This testing never stops. As a matter of fact, it gets more challenging. You know, as one of my godbrothers took sannyas and he said, now I am in trouble. Nobody tells me anymore anything. As a brahmachari, you know, I grew up in a brahmachari movement. The correction system was very rigid. You didn't get up in a mangala attic, somebody kicked you. Hey, wake up! That was my bhakta program. You know, just they stepped on you on the way to the shower, you know. And I was like, oh, I woke up, somebody stepped on me. And they looked back and said, come on, we are not this body. That happens when you join Hare Krishna movement and you are 18 years old, you know. That was the mood. Well, it was rough. It was ruthless. But it was very correcting. Everybody was actually guarding everybody. It was very protecting, actually. You know, if you talk on a street, you distribute books, you talk too long to a lady, another brahmachari was coming around, and he just turned around and was going. That was enough. He was going, okay, do you buy the book? No, but I'm very interested. You know, okay, bye-bye. It was quick. It was very, very smooth system, you know. Yeah. So, sometimes I miss this almost, you know. I have friends, no, who actually fulfill this function. I don't want to go now to autobiographic, but I need feedback. I need protection from all sides. So everyone has to be rightly placed. And also you need a brahminical surveillance. We all need brahminical surveillance. But to find it, well, Kali Yuga is not packed with brahmanas, you know. So, but if you want, you find it. So I am guarded by a friend, by a sannyasi, who made an agreement with me 20 years ago. He said, I want to become your friend. If you see me going off the track in Maya, you have to grab me like this. I had the blue marks here, you know. And he said, you have to shake me like this. And I told him, will you do the same thing to me? And he said, yes. And since then, we are great friends. You know, because... And we are completely different persons. I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not even brahmanical. But anyway, it's just like, you know... But to have somebody like this, it's wonderful. He's very discreet. He goes, you're doing something strange, but I'm not completely clear if it's Krishna conscious. Let's see where it goes. So he's watching. And just in case I would feel, oh, Maya got me. I know where I can go. Because Maya is always trying, you know, with all kinds of shapes and ways. And when she cannot see, she cannot manage this way, then she will upgrade. She will go, Om Namo Bhagavate Shivaya. You know. And you go, what was that? Never heard this. You know. She's very shastric, you know. She will come up, shoop. So, we have to be guarded. And Arjuna, by surrendering, he found the full shelter in Krishna. acceptance unconditionally. Before initiation, one can ask, you know, and research. One should do that. Prabhupada even said in one letter, the disciple should test the guru at least 1 year. Ask relevant questions. Not arrogant, not challenging, but asking questions. At least 1 year. And the guru should test the disciple. Is this man serious enough to follow me? To follow what I say? Because what I say is Krishna. He is saying, is he serious enough? And Prabhupada envisioned a movement full of such a serious people. He always said there were so many problems brought up to him already then. And finally he said, this man is not serious. Because whatever you offer him alternative, he will ultimately change it anyway. So ultimately he said, he's not serious. So this is for serious people. But serious doesn't mean like serious, you know. No, we can be very jolly serious. This is Krishna consciousness. One of the first symptoms of acquiring knowledge that you become jolly. It's described in Bhagavad Gita. It's tasteful. It's joyful. It can joyfully perform. So when you study and study and you are more and more Krishna conscious, you become a miserable, depressing person who people just look at and they go, oh no, he is so Krishna conscious, he looks like he will almost commit suicide, you know. There's something wrong. Something went wrong there on the way. And there must be. You will experience bliss because the real knowledge makes you blissful. You go, oh, now I don't have to speculate anymore. Now I don't have to ask my mind who is cheating me all the time. I don't have to follow the senses. I don't have to be dependent on so many, so many false information. I don't have to be serving because we always have to serve. I don't have to serve so many false masters. And then you become joyful. I can just dance and know. This is amazing. It's fantastic. I got the right guru. I got the right knowledge. I got the right God. There's no false God. Yeah, there's false gods here. But God is ultimately one. There's only one God. It's not. He doesn't have to prove himself to another God who came up. You know. No. God is God. That's it. You don't have to even discuss which way to get to him. Prabhupada was completely averse to this discussion, you know. I'm Christian, I'm Muslim, I'm Hindu. And Prabhupada said, be what you want, but let's see the result. Let's see how serious you are. You can become a hypocrite Christian, you can become a hypocrite Muslim, you can become a hypocrite Hindu, you can also become a hypocrite Hare Krishna. Let's see the result. That is manifested in joyful realization. And joyful means actually that you always remain enthusiastic in the times even of depression. And there are depressing times, there is good times and there is bad times. Krishna says one should not even depend on enlightenment and not enlightenment. Sometimes we think, Krishna consciousness, my God, I don't have the taste. Oh my God, I have to struggle, I will chant my rounds and... And sometimes we just go, hey, this is really blissful. Krishna said, don't depend even on that. Just do your duty. Just keep on going. It's a process. Just keep on going. Do your thing. Just like that. As Prabhupada once, he finished his rounds, you know, and he took his bead bag and he put his bead bag aside and he looked at his seven and he said, now I can do any damn thing I want. Which we know meant actually that he is just free to serve Krishna in another way. You know, so Prabhupada was also fulfilling his duties, just to give an example. Even we know that he was not duty bound. He was beyond that. You know, into one devotee he said, if you preach like I do, there are not so many regulations, but don't take advantage. This is between us, like a little secret. You have to preach like that. Sometimes devotees were going, Prabhupada, we can also do that like you are doing. Prabhupada said, yeah, but then you have to translate so many books and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Then you can do that. So there is a following and then is imitating. Imitating is dangerous. Following, that's what we are supposed to do. So finally, Krishna very firmly tells Krishna, to Arjuna. Tasmatam utishtaya shulabhasva chitva shatrun bhunkshvarajam samridam mayaivate mihata purvameva nimitamatram bhavasavyasachin. Therefore, get up. Prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, Asavya Sachin, can be but an instrument in the fight. There's a wonderful things built into the chloka. Quite amazing things. You know what Krishna is telling to Arjuna? Get up and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. Wow. It sounds like invitation to hedonism, you know. Some brahmachari would say, well, flourishing kingdom, that's maya. And it is temporary, manifested. But you can see how at that point Krishna is already trusting Arjuna. It's not like Krishna doesn't want us to enjoy. He never said that. Come to Krishna consciousness, become miserable, and become, you will no more this, no more eating, no more sleeping, you know, no more socializing, you know, become a cruel, selfish, starving, depressed rascal. There's not such a Bhagavad Gita, doesn't exist. No, he never said that. He wants us to enjoy, but with him. And there is a difference. Because our concept of enjoyment is again powered by the concept, this is me and this is mine. And because it's me, I will enjoy this. Don't come here, this is mine. This is my enjoyment. And this is going even in the most intimate relationships. You know, people come together for the sake of enjoying together. Because actually, variety is a mother of enjoyment. And shared enjoyment is always more inspiring as just enjoying alone. Of course, there are people who just sit at home and they just enjoy in a hat. And they are miserable. Then they go on the internet and they think they found somebody. It's just a screen blinking, you know. You cannot lick the screen. You cannot touch the screen. It's just images, you know. And on the other side, there's another lonely fool sitting and he's punching the keyboard, going, you know, you are my friend. And you go, yes, I'm also your friend. Do you feel the friendship? Yeah, I feel the friendship. And then the electricity goes out and the friendship is over. I can boldly announce that today is a glorious day. You know why? Because Facebook broke down. They have a big problem. I heard. You know? Yeah? It's a big problem. So where's your friends? The Facebook is gone. Ooh. It's, you know, and I think one day when this whole thing is just closed down, it'll be an interesting day. Because then we have to look at each other. We have to talk to each other. You will not have the shopping streets full with iPhone zombies. You know, just... You know, this one person, he must be related to devotees because he is publishing cartoons on the internet. Just exactly addressing this. Very accurate. You know him, some of you? He must be attached, you know, because he's making cartoons very elaborately. It's a very fancy production. You know, on a top level of cartoon, must be lots of money involved there. But this is almost like illustration to Bhagavatam, you know. There's one of these called happiness, just in detail describing how frustrated it is to become happy in this material world. In a very accurate way. So he has one cartoon like this, the iPhone zombies. It's a man sitting on a camera on safari in Africa, and instead of giraffe, you know, walking with his long throats, there's these people with the throats just going into the iPhones. And he's photographing going, wow, that's a foul species here they have. So, you know, it's depersonalizing, not personalizing. And we know that the happiness and bliss can be found only by understanding things more in a personal way. Just a basic principle. How do you enjoy with somebody? You have to accept him to be a person. You cannot enjoy with a piece of stone. Yeah, we are friends, you know. It is not possible. So there has to be exchange. Prabhupada called it rasa. He didn't use the word love much. He said love means in the material world lust. But rasa, exchange of sharing things, exchanging things, you know, whatever it is, you know, this is what makes people alive. I found somebody, I can exchange things, I can share things. Oh, he understands the way I share things with him, and he's grateful. Thank you very much for sharing this with me. Thank you very much for sharing this with me. This is all called relationship. But where do you find this in the material world? It's all, if I don't enjoy, you will not enjoy either. You know, this is a world of consumers and consumed ones. Everybody is just, you know, just chewing on each other. You know, and when it's chewed up, next. This is terrible. This is called Mayavada. This is called the world of, you know, of consumers. So that's exactly what Prabhupada contradicted. He showed us a way to live in this world even, under very different circumstances. He called it love and trust, yes. But not what people usually think. We read this today in the morning in Bhagavatam. If you help a foolish sentimentalist in his sense gratification, then you are as foolish as he is. This is not a help, this is violence. So therefore Krishna says, get up, fight. That's not funny. It's challenging. And enjoy your flourishing kingdom. He knew Arjuna will never enjoy it alone. Enjoyment for Arjuna was to surrender everything to Krishna. That was already clearly established. Therefore Krishna is trusting him. No, you can enjoy. Prabhupada said it himself. He said, first Krishna took everything away from me. Whatever I worked for. Prabhupada's family situation was not a very happy one. We know that. You know, his son, the oldest son, he hoped to take over. He was a mentally retarded person. Prabhupada was desperate. He tried to help him in some way. Finally, he just went crazy. Just a few days before leaving, the other son came. And Prabhupada preached to him still. He offered him, you can maintain yourself by selling our books. We will give you a special price. Don't worry. Just Prabhupada at the end arranged even a flat for them. They could live. He was concerned. It's human. When his son left the room, he turned to his servant. He said, what a rascal son. So he was still struggling with that. He was human. Prabhupada was not just pure devotee. He was not just sannyasi. He was a human also. Sometimes we forget that. So that's normal. However, he knew this is beyond his control. You know, and there's a different speculations why actually Prabhupada's family members were not Krishna conscious and what it would mean if they would be Krishna conscious. There would be some different things going on in ISKCON because they would be like closely related, they would get so much respect and they would get so much, and what will they do with that? And there's a whole scenario like this which never happened. Krishna was going, family, time, over, finished. Sometimes pain and this kind of things, they have a reason. We don't understand it at a particular moment, but looking back, there is no chance. The word chance Prabhupada couldn't tolerate. He said, immediately, as somebody said chance, Prabhupada said, by chance I will slap you. You slapped me. No, it was just chance. And I will kick you. Oh, you kicked me. No, my foot just went like this by chance. It's not just everything by chance. Why are you complaining? You know, that didn't exist in Prabhupada's vocabulary. It just doesn't exist. Chance is a rascal. There's always a cause. Just imagine I would look at you now here and you sing, ha, what a crowd. They just came here by chance. Just dropped in a door. Now they are by chance sitting here. And then, you know, and by chance they will get something to eat and then they will go home. It's all by chance, you know. You just become a Mayavadi cynic. And the world is full of this kind of people because this is preached. This is established right away from the childhood. It's all by chance. Oh, really? I was born by chance. Well, it looks like that for many people. It's called Vana Shankara, you know. So it's like, you know, they go, oh no, I'm pregnant, by chance. And the man passed by just also by chance, he disappeared again, you know. It's all by chance, you know. So when you think of consequences of somebody saying this, it's ghastly. It's disgusting. I don't want to quote Mr. Bernard Shaw all the time, that was the Irish gentleman. Can you imagine 150 years ago? He said, the greatest violence you can do to a man is to deny him his personal identity. Far out. It's quite, Prabhupada would say, hey, this is interesting, this is good. Because this is the real violence. You treat somebody like he came by chance. You treat somebody like he's accidentally here. It's all accident, one big accident. God made a mistake if he exists. You know, this is what these rascals are talking all the time. And we are educated into that, in the schools, in the media. It's all by chance, come on. So the consequences, and on the other side, the politicians, everybody talks about the future. What do you mean future? It's all by chance. And stop talking this about future. Something will happen by chance. So why should we talk about this? There was one word, and the other word Prabhupada was allergic to was merge. I knew from one of his servants, he was shaving his hair in Mayapur. Then he said, Prabhupada, what shall we do now with the hair? I said, we will take them and we will merge them with the Ganga. Prabhupada immediately raised his head and he said, merging? Never. So that also doesn't exist. You cannot merge something with something. It always keeps its individual identity. Even the biologists will agree that there's always some little guys running around at the end. Some bacteria, some virus, something. There's always something. Even the atoms, they are running, you know, really fast. Nobody ever saw them, but we just use the symptoms, you know. Prabhupada used it as an example for the existence of the soul. He said, you cannot see the soul either, but we can see the symptoms. So you cannot see the atom either, but the symptoms are sometimes very evident. It's called atomic bomb, you know. Yeah? So it's there. We know that by the symptoms, but nobody ever saw an atom, how it looks like, or they have these images of these little balls, you know, these models. But nobody ever saw such a thing, but it's there. So similarly, there are so many things going on which we don't see, but they are there. So we need information from those who can see. So when Krishna is talking, things become very interesting. Because he is already seeing the future. Somebody may even interpret it in a way, then I don't have to do anything. It's like in India, they tell you, I will surrender. When Krishna wants me to surrender, I will surrender. But he didn't say anything yet. I'm waiting. You know, when Krishna wants, I will surrender. Prabhupada called it first class rascal. Because he knows Krishna exists, but he's lazy to take some initiative. That's not how it works. Krishna waits for you, for us. What do you want? I want to be in Maya. So he makes a real circus around that. The whole material world is designed for this purpose, to be in Maya. But if somebody goes, no, I would like to be Krishna conscious, then Krishna goes, are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Okay. Then it starts. He will send you the right people. He will send you the right knowledge. He will illuminate you even from inside, even without even knowing something. Even without reading one book, hearing one lecture. If you are serious, he will guide you to a place where you get these things to hear and to see. And he will arrange the life around you. It's like George Harrison once, he said, from the Beatles, he said, I have so many friends. I'm the famous Beatle. As soon as I chant Hare Krishna, I don't have so many friends. Because the reality comes up about the falsity of friendship and all this. Yeah? As soon as you speak about spiritual life, the audience is becoming very small. As soon as you speak about something material, they will all come. Oh, that's how I can enjoy. Very nice, very nice. You know, you can see sometimes in Krishna consciousness there's attempts being made to make it very sensually enjoyable. You know, I don't want to go now in detail, somebody may feel insulted. But people come and go, hey, this is great. Hare Krishna, great. You know, here I can enjoy. And then comes the lecture. You know, this is temporary world. We are all going to die. We are not this body. You know, you cannot satisfy the senses. You don't follow the mind. And then they go, okay, call me again when the prasadam is served. Yeah, but that's what the whole thing is about. That's what we are actually educated to come to. The satisfied state of giving up that hope. We have so many false hopes. People are always howling around, well, this didn't happen, and I hoped, and I was so... And it's because of him, because of her, because of them. But it's actually because of our false, misplaced expectations. We want the spiritual world, in one sense, but in a material world. Sorry, it's not going to happen. This is not a place for that. Now, we can have it, but it will not comply with the rules of material nature. It's very difficult. Prabhupada even said it's very difficult to establish a spiritual movement in the material world. It's like swimming in a water and trying to stay dry. It's not easy. But Prabhupada said, we can do that. He said, I will make you impregnated. He said, Prabhupada, once there was some, he mentions in a lecture, there was some vaccination going on. Now, vaccination is another issue. Please don't do this. But, you know, but Prabhupada got also vaccinated against flu. So he got vaccinated and he said, and immediately he turned it into some preaching issue. He said, that's what we are doing in Krishna consciousness. We are vaccinating everybody. No more Maya infection. You know, it's all vaccinating here. So when the Maya comes, no effect. This is Krishna consciousness. We vaccinate everybody. So people sometimes they come, they get vaccinated, and they regret that. Now I'm immune, no more fun. I used to enjoy this illusion so nicely, and now it's not so enjoyable anymore, you know that? What have I done? You know? And then they start to even accuse the preachers. You ruined my life! You made me introspective. You made me to follow my conscience. You gave me knowledge. Where's my ignorance? Please. I saw devotees sometimes desperately trying to be ignorant again. It's really entertaining to see this, you know. It doesn't work. They even go and they just... I could tell stories, but... Actually, he left the body already. He was actually a very, very wonderful God brother. He was with me on Sankirtan for many years. But I never saw him being one day happy on Sankirtan. He was a German. Don't worry, there were also ecstatic German devotees on Sankirtan, but somehow I never saw him happy. He was sometimes so unhappy, you know, that I told him, do you have to do this? There's other services, and he said, no. Prabhupada said we should distribute his books. And he did distribute some books, but, you know, was so heavily troubled. So finally he disappeared one day. But we were all brahmacharis, you know, so he just disappeared. The only thing he didn't know that I know the address of his last flat where he lived, you know. So he didn't come back in the evening to the car. I just was going. And the brahmacharis were going, I think he blooped. You know, very well-wishing mood those days, you know. He was always in Maya, now he blooped. So I just said, okay, we are going to travel in this direction. And after 2-3 days, we reached the place where his flat was. And he was so simple and so naive, his name was still on the bell. So I ring the bell. The other brahmacharis were waiting in a car. I went up the stairs. And he opened the door. He absolutely didn't expect that. So I stood there, you know, going, what are you doing? And I take him a cigar smoke out of the apartment. I said, you're smoking. You told me you never smoked before. Actually, he never smoked before. And he said, go away. I'm in Maya. I am lost. I'm hopeless. Just leave me alone. Go away. So I just walked into the apartment. And I used to think, I thought, it not only stinks here, but it's dirty. My God. And he said, I don't care anymore. I'm finished. And I said, you are not finished. And then I saw, he didn't unpack even the suitcase yet. And I said, I give you 5 minutes to pack this whole thing. We go out of the door. You'd never come back again. And he was going, go, I'm helpless. I said, I will go, but with you. And if I have to drag you on your feet downstairs, you know, you will go with me. And he was like, he knew I'm capable to do this. So he closed his suitcase and he was like, and I grabbed him like a dog, you know, just, and I said, go. So I dragged him out of that apartment, almost kicked him down the stairs. And there was this other brahmachari sitting in a car, and I threw him in a car. And the first thing they said, he's stinking. You know, he was. The next day he went out to distribute 20 books. He never came back. It never happened again. So that's how we were guarding each other. I never lost respect for him. Because he was in all the way through, he was honest. He really considered himself to be weak and hopeless. But weakness Prabhupada forgave. He was so merciful. Weakness, oh, he had to deal with this all the time. Devotees coming to him crying, you know, Prabhupada, I'm in love. Prabhupada said, fall in love, fall in lust. He said, don't worry, we will get you married. So he was constantly arranging around devotees so they cannot leave. And there's still some left. And they were miserable, of course. Prabhupada was very upset. Sometimes he was crying, I cannot help him, I cannot save him. He was desperate. But often it just wasn't, it was not possible to leave in the presence of Prabhupada. You know? It's just impossible. He made it impossible. So, you know, that's how we were guarding each other. This devotee later on, he was, you know, he was, of course, getting married, and then a very solid, very chaste man, actually. By, of course, he got a very nice wife who was very nicely taking care of him. You know him. She knows who I'm talking about. He was dying on a Swedish farm at the end. He left the body. His wife was taking care of him to the last day. So, in one sense, a glorious life. So, but I remember that incident because I saw weakness is not the issue. The issue is when somebody makes his weakness and starts to preach it to the others just to justify his fall down. That Prabhupada didn't tolerate. There you saw Prabhupada, such a pictures don't exist. You don't have a photo of Prabhupada being really angry. Those who were present said, when Prabhupada became furious, we couldn't even breathe. There was no oxygen in the room. It was such a fury coming out that we thought, oh my God, you just rejected this disciple. Prabhupada said, no, I never reject anybody. But that was the last thing I could do for him. Just make him aware how foolish he is. So Prabhupada was desperate. That's a struggle of a very spiritual master going through this. So, but Krishna is saying to Arjuna, don't worry, I already killed them all. So Arjuna could say, that's very nice. Prabhupada says in one lecture commenting on this, he says, this is not like that. That after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, that's very nice. You are the doer, you are the controller, you killed them all already here, you said it, and you want me to enjoy flourishing kingdom, that's very nice. Then Prabhupada says, and then Arjuna relaxed in the back of the chariot smoking ganja. That's not the end of Bhagavad Gita. No. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, okay, I'm ready to fight. Because God helps those who help themselves. So we have to do our part. One day, one devotee asked Prabhupada, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur had already the whole plan how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he was actually at the foundation of the Hare Krishna movement, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj did it in India, so why couldn't it spread further? And then Prabhupada so wonderfully commented, he said, he could do that. He was such a powerful acharya, he could spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But then what would we do? We would have nothing to do. So mercifully, Bhaktivinoda Thakur let us some portion of the work to be done, so we are also busy and we get some credit also. It's a nice thing to understand that. You know, it's a nice way to understand this. So Krishna is always leaving a scope. You do it. Even he is the doer, but he goes, you do it. And win the glory and enjoy flourishing kingdom. And what is the result? This was a test at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Ooh, I hope I found the shloka. Sanjaya is at the end saying, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That's my opinion. That's how we can judge if we are spreading Krishna consciousness or not. Is it these things there? And if not, we have to work a little bit harder. Where is morality? Where is extraordinary power? Where is the victory and where is the opulence? And there will be defeat. Prabhupada also experienced defeat. He experienced difficulties. Arjuna also, on a battlefield of Kurukshetra, it's not like he was going, hello, good morning, and killed everybody. No. This was very heavy. Sometimes even Arjuna was just about to be killed. If Krishna wouldn't get involved, Arjuna would be dead. You know, just that close to death. Until Krishna just, there's this story where so many Brahmastras came flying to Arjuna's chariot, you know, that Krishna had increased the weight and the chariot just sunk in the mud and they were all passing by. Krishna made even the sun coming up when it was supposed to going down. Because they had a rule, you know, when the sun comes down, stop fighting. It was a strict rules. It was not a savage war. It was all cultured people. So and there was this moment where Arjuna was supposed to kill a particular king. If he wouldn't have done that, he made a vow, I will enter fire and I will commit suicide. They knew that. So they were going, they were hiding the king all the way back in the last, behind all the defenses. So Arjuna was the whole day just killing, just looking, where is the king? And just as he saw him, you know, the sun was going down. So they were all, he didn't got him, he will commit suicide. They were going, Jai! The same moment, Krishna raised the sun over the horizon again. Arjuna himself was surprised. He said, what? And Krishna immediately told him, kill him, immediately. Which was easy, because they were all, Jai! You know, and the king was, Jai! So immediately, Arjuna just cut off his head. And then the sun went down. And then there was a big discussion. Some soldiers were going, the sun was up. No, it was already down. And they were completely confused. But the king was dead and they went to sleep. And Arjuna was, you know, Krishna was turned the chariot around. He said, we also go to sleep. Let's go. So such a thing Krishna can do, of course. But we have to do our part. And therefore, nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Nimitta matram, that's the key word. Become a tool in Krishna's hands. It's not easy. Those who go out, distribute books, those who preach, they know. As soon as you think, I am the preacher, I am the book distributor, and you are finished. Then Krishna goes, oh really? That's you? Then do it. I have nothing to do with this. Do it. And you go, But as soon as nimitta matram, you become the tool, life becomes so pleasant. You can just watch. You say things you never heard. You do things you never did. Sometimes Sankirtan devotees, they come back from the street and they're just telling the stories what happened. It's like telling a movie, you know. It's just like, I did that. Can tell you stories, things I did on the street. Even today I think, how could I do that? It's completely crazy stuff. You know, the police coming, you know, German police, you know, serious, you know, stop, you know, you have an ID card? And he was, I knew immediately, this was a new policeman. He was the first day on service. A bhakta. So I just looked at him the same serious way and was going, you have also ID card? You are police? He was completely knocked out. Nobody ever told him that. He said, I don't need an ID card. I'm police. Don't you see? I don't need a form here. And I said, come on. My mother is a dressmaker. She can make a uniform like this in half a day, you know. He was even more confused. And instead of me showing him the ID card, he showed me his ID card. He said, this is my ID card. Look, German police. So I took the ID card and was going, this is you? Doesn't look like you. How do I know it's real? He said, there's a stamp on it, German police. And I said, you know, when I take a potato, I cut it in half and cut some profile in it, I can stamp anything, you know. How do I know this is real? He said, I have a gun. And I said, looks like a water pistol to me. I got him so demolished and so confused. He said, okay, you wait here. I go around the corner. In the car is my colleague sitting. He will come out and confirm that I'm a police. And I said, okay. Then he went around the corner, of course. I didn't wait until he comes back. We were in 15 minutes, the whole party was in another town. So, you know, this is, Sankirtan is full of this kind of stories. When I look at his back, I think, well, it's pretty bold to do such a thing, but it was the right thing. It was, you know, he was so confused. It's not that all policemen would respond like this, but I got the right one, you know. I can tell you so many Sankirtan stories of German police, especially. When I moved to Sweden, I missed them, really, you know. In Sweden, it was all authorized and all cool. And I remember only one contact with police in Sweden during a marathon. A drunkard stole a Chaitanya Charitamrita for me, you know. I was just holding it, and he came by going, and ran away. And in one few seconds, he came around the corner again, being carried by a heavy policeman. He almost carried him like this. And he said, did he bought the book? And I said, no, he stole it. He said, give it back! And the man was, urshakta. You know, yeah. That was the only contact with police I had in Sweden in 15 years. Otherwise, but in Germany, it was like, hello, where are they? You know? You know, I remember one Sunday we used to distribute. Sunday in Germany is dead. You know, it's a Catholic country, all the shops are closed, it's dead. So we went to the flats, you know, the skyscraper things, and we developed a whole technique how to get in, because it's closed. So we ring the bell on the top floor, because down there lives usually the housekeeper. So we ring the top bell, and they went, hello, who is there? You know, and then we had all kinds of mantras. Post! And they were going, oh, postman. Okay. Zzz. They opened the door, we came in, and we came up with the elevator, and we're going, hello, my name is Post. And then it's like, you know, things like that. I had a godbrother, he had an almost magic voice. He spoke into the amplification system, hello. I brought you something very nice, round and soft. See, what a stupid thing he's saying. And immediately, zzz, the door went open. And when he came up, people forget the round and soft, you know, and he was just, hello! And then you start to distribute on the top, and you got the floors down, and at the end you meet the housekeeper, he goes, get out! And you go, okay, sure, bye-bye. And, but that one day I remember, it was in a small town, it was like a medium-high houses. And then, you know, when we came out, there was police waiting already. So we knew, oh, no, there's somebody called up again. It was a little bus with two policemen inside. And they were going, come here, come. What were you doing there? We were going, no, just visiting a friend. And then some people already were, and Germans love it, you know. They were standing in the windows. They said, he was here, with the book, you know. Germans love police, you know. So anyway, so they said, get in a van. And we knew, okay, that's going to be entanglement. Because when they bring you to the police station, then it's all the paperwork to be done and all this. We said, oh no, half a day gone again. So they drove to the police station, but it was unusually long time. After 15, 20 minutes, we were thinking, what are they doing? Usually police station was 10 minutes or something like this. So we were saying, what is this? So they drove us to some police station in another town. And they said, get out of the car. And we came in the police station, and then five more policemen came. We were going, wow, what is this? And they said, where's your books? And we still had quite lots of books with us. So we're going, okay, they will confiscate the books, okay. So he said, here's the books, put it all on the table. And then the first policeman said, well, the Nectar of Devotion, I have it, but the Krishna book, I don't have it. And they start to go through the books. And they bought practically all the books we had. And they were all having already a box. And then they told us a story they heard on the police radio. Somebody was, you know, calling. And there was originally supposed to be another police crew coming in, much more closer. But they said, no, we are close by. And they took over that thing just to get to us, to get these books. So we came out with the empty bags, and they drove us back to our car, and, you know, it was like, hello. <You know? laughs> So Krishna can do quite amazing things. There are so many Sankirtan stories, you know, you can tell, where you can see what nimitta matra means. When you just become tool for Krishna. We had a mantra on Sankirtan. Let's give Krishna a chance. And we had a mantra too. The town is too small, the weather too bad, the people too nasty. You know, it's impossible. Impossible to disturb. But let's give Krishna a chance. And then suddenly, once we got even stuck on a highway, in the middle of the marathon, everybody, Jai Haribol, Haribol. You know. And between two exits, you cannot get out. So I just turned around and was going, Sankirtan Ki Jai. And they all jumped out. It was a heavy queue. And they started to distribute, going from behind. You know, just people sit in the cars, you know. And they are bored. And they cannot go anywhere. So I saw the Sankirtan was disappearing in this rows of cars, you know, just in front of me. And then after 1 hour, the whole thing started to move. I couldn't leave the car because they just so slowly. And I saw them still distributing the books to the windows. And I just collected them as the car speeded up. They jumped in a car almost, you know, while the car was driving. And the first question said, where is the next queue? So we put the radio in, and there was, on A4, there is another big queue. And I was going, hey, shh! You know, and we just, I think we did 3 queues at that day. It was ecstatic. You know, they were going, hey, all glories to German queues, you know. You know, so even in such a seemingly impossible circumstance, there's always a chance. There's always a way to do it. There's always, because Krishna consciousness is ahetuki apratihata. It cannot be stopped by any material circumstance. The only one who can actually hamper it, not stop it, but hamper and slowly down, it's us. We are actually the biggest obstacle. With our demands, with our conditions, with our ideas. Prabhupada said, he is very opinionated. You know, and he calls such a devotees people with fertile brains. It's like everything growing. You know? Good things too, but along that comes all the weeds and everything. So our consciousness needs some gardening. And for this we need guidance, we need authority, and we need some brain. Prabhupada said, ecstasy is good, but little brain is also necessary. And that brain is available. Krishna can give it. When we want to, it's there. We have all what we need. Prabhupada gave it to us. So in this way, we can become nimitta matram. We can become useful tools in Krishna's hands. This is the success of Krishna consciousness. I'm overdoing the time, I think. What's the limit? Yeah? Okay. Okay. So we have, I don't see much time for questions and answers, but if you want later on, we can talk. Whatever. Thank you for listening so patiently. Shri Prabhupada ki.